And welcome to The Business of Family Business. It's presented by CMA. And this week, we're going to be talking to Dan Bean from CMA, Jason Woodard from Woodard Cleaning and Restoration Services. A lot to learn from them as Grandma and Grandpa started the business after World War II. His father took over and had the business for many decades until Justin took over just a couple of years ago. The purpose of this show is to share their experiences, the things they've been through, the difficulties, the good times, the things they're doing for the future, how they're managing the business, to share that information for all the other family businesses in the area. And if you would like your story told, maybe you have a family business, go ahead, reach out to Dan Bean at CMA. We're looking for future businesses we can highlight on the show. Go to cmaconsult.com. That's the contact information for Dan Bean, cmaconsult.com. We'd love to highlight you on the show. And if you've missed any previous episodes, just go to kmox.com. You can listen back in the podcast section. In studio today, Jason Woodard with Woodard Cleaning and Restoration, Dan Bean from CMA, and I want to start with Jason first.
I'll kind of look back at the start of the business, 1946. It kind of has a robust history based on your grandpa, Earl, in his World War II service. He came back from the war and started this business from there. Can you kind of tell us how that came about?
It's relatively easy to say that, you know, Grandma and Grandpa, you know, started this door-to-door rug cleaning, in-home rug cleaning business. But honestly, it doesn't really capture like why we've become who we are as Woodard. Mm-hmm. Could I tell a quick story? Towards the end of World War II, my grandpa was a lieutenant, and he was a navigator on a B-17. And so they flew missions out of Britain. One day, his captain woke him up really early in the morning and said, "Hey, Woody, we've got a milk run, but we're leading it." And essentially, that means that Grandpa was the lead navigator in hundreds of B-17s. Mm-hmm. And so it was really his responsibility as the lead navigator to get them to the right place to drop their bombs. During that trip, which was supposed to be in and out really quick, it was cloudy. They got off course and ended up in a situation where there's flak all over the place, and it ripped through their aircraft. And you know, then captain's saying, "Everybody, get out." And so Grandpa and all his crewmates jumped out of the airplane, parachuted out. Several of them, you know, after landing, were captured by the Germans. Grandpa and most of the other crew was rescued by the French resistance, which was operating inside of occupied France. And so over the next couple of months, they smuggled him from the northern part of France all the way to the southern border through the Pyrenees. He walked across the Pyrenees, ended up in a Spanish prison, and then got back to his life in America. And you know, that the story is really inspiring and really cool because, you know, it's a cool war story. But what you could miss is that it really was the French people that were kind of selfless and helped my grandpa that our company got to be started at all.
Hmm.
And so their act of kind of kindness and their act of service helped Grandpa get back to his life. And what Woodard has become over the generations is a company whose really sole purpose is to help people get back to their lives, right? We don't do it by smuggling people across an occupied country, but we are able to provide help when people have significant times of need. And it's really the tie together of that is really what has kind of created and helped create this company that we are kind of in the care of at this point in time.
Well, that's a fascinating way to look at it. Well, it's very deep. So he came back and he could have probably picked up work, but he decided to start a business. And
right.
it based on that business, he wanted to go and help serve people in the area. 1946, from the back of his car for the most part, wasn't he?
That's
traveling
right.
a trailer in the back
right.
of their car. Would he go around with your grandma Nancy? Would they work together?
Yeah. You know what they had to do? So the investment was this $1,000 machine that they had to buy a trailer for so that they could tow it around with the family station wagon. And mm-hmm. and really, it was legitimate. It was go door to door. We've got this machine. At the time, what everybody had to do was take their rugs out. You know, if you wanted to get your rug cleaned, you had to move all the furniture. You had to put everything away. You had to roll the thing up. And you had to somehow get it into a facility somewhere in the area mm-hmm. to have it go through this, you know, this cleaning process.
Right.
And the idea that you could have somebody come to your home, not move furniture, but they had this machine in the back, you know, on this trailer behind their car, and they could clean around, you know, where the walkways were and where things were dirty, And the convenience and speed and lower cost to be able to do that, it made a big impact. But it really required going door to door because nobody had any idea what they were talking about.
You told me that your grandma used to do all the artwork and they would advertise in the newspaper.
That's right.
So they would go door to door, but they were also advertising. And at some point, their business probably grew where people were calling them, demanding their services to go out there.
You know, grandma is the artist of the family. Mm-hmm. And she was the original marketing person for Woodard and did all sorts of, you know, kind of little ads that you'd put in your, you know, in your maybe your church bulletin. The Webster Kirkwood Times or something like that. But then also she did some really neat pieces for us that would, you know, that ended up being displayed in different areas. Mm-hmm. She was the person that created the rug man. And so if you drive down Manchester, you know, if you've ever seen the rug in the bathtub, mm-hmm. On the side of the building, grandma was actually, she created the rug man and put him in a bathtub and had that be kind of the, you know, the company mascot from like the founding days, you know.
Wow. Because how many kids did they have?
They had 6 kids.
And your dad was the one that eventually took over the business.
That's right.
And he number 5 of 6?
He was number 5 of 6.
Yeah.
So he has 2 sisters and 3 brothers. In the early 80s, 2 of his brothers, Barry and George, all 3 of them, they were the ones who bought the business from mm-hmm. grandma and grandpa. And so really it was the 3 brothers for a while. You know, ultimately, you know, through really a variety of different interests, they went different ways throughout the years. You know, one ended up going into some sort of like, you know, some real estate type mm-hmm. Activities. And then the other one ended up, they started a kind of a branch of Woodard that did commercial drapes and installation of stuff in commercial buildings. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately that business, you know, he kind of spun that off and took that business into another direction. And then dad was kind of left with the Woodard business.
Dan Bean from CMA. How often do you see that when the first generation family, they have a lot of offspring and then it seems like the brothers and sisters, they all go their own way and there's only one person left? Does that seem like a typical transition?
I don't think that's typical. I think it's more atypical, or certainly less than 50% of the mm-hmm. time. Most of the time, the siblings will stay in the business. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there was a separate line of business that probably makes it a little easier to carve off mm-hmm. and let somebody go a different way. And I don't remember that was one brother took that line of business. What happened to the other brother?
The other brother was just more interested in doing real estate and development and things like that. And so he really, dad and George bought Barry out so he could go do that.
So he started a completely different line of business.
Yeah.
He followed his interest. He followed his passion. Mm-hmm. And that's great. That's probably what helps people be successful. And I also want to make one other comment, how great it is to have a tie between your business and a separate tie between your business and your grandfather and the business and your grandmother. That's really neat.
I want to know more about when the business was ready to start expanding, some of the things they did when they started expanding to grow where they are today. Justin Woodard with Woodard Cleaning and Restoration Services, joined by Dan Bean from CMA. This is The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA. That's coming up next on KMOX. And as you start to hear these stories of what goes on behind the scenes at a family business, you realize a lot of it is family-like. They care for the people that are there. They care for their own family. They work with their own family. There's a lot of different things that go into it, a lot of different decisions, and also planning that goes into it as you start to think about the succession of the company. Maybe you want it to go to someone else in the family. Maybe you don't. Maybe you just need to put a plan together and know what your options are. That's why I'm telling you to reach out to Dan Bean at CMA. He'll lay it out for you, and he'll tell you some of your options and work a plan for your business, your unique plan for your unique business. Maybe it's a generational transition. Maybe it's more complex than that. Don't feel like you have to do this alone. The experienced people at CMA will guide you through this process because they know family businesses. Just go to cmaconsult.com and reach out to Dan Bean. See what they can do for you. Because I was shocked to learn that 2/3 of family businesses won't make the transition. Sometimes the business closes down. Sometimes the kids don't want anything to do with the business. Sometimes they're just ready to sell. There could be a lot of different reasons that happens. But if you're trying to get a succession plan in place, first thing I would do is reach out to Dan Bean at CMA. CMAconsult.com. Just talk to them first. CMAconsult.com. And welcome back to The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, joined in studio with Dan Bean from CMA and Justin Woodard with Woodard Cleaning and Restoration, sharing his family business stories that date back all the way to after World War II with his grandma and grandpa. When did the company start to expand and offer more?
Yeah, that really was the generation. The second generation is what kind of precipitated that.
Right.
So in the early 80s, when Dad and my uncles bought the business, it really was. It's like, okay, well, we bought this business, and now we do need to expand a little bit to make sure that we're putting effort back into the business. And that was the time. It kind of coincided with customers calling and saying, hey, I got this water in my basement. You cleaned my carpet last week. Can take the water out of my basement? It's like, well, yeah, okay, well, let's try that. That really kind of formed the connection with the insurance companies, kind of showed us the opportunity of, hey, there's people that need help in a variety of different areas that we didn't really consider before, and allowed us to go get educated and figure out how to build an operation around really what we call now is just emergency services. And there's a variety of different ways that we do that for our customers.
Well, Justin, you're the owner now. Talking about back when you started offering these other services with your dad's generation, and they were calling and asking for these things, you were telling me that you're at a point where you're trying to find new things that you're doing. You're trying to find new ways to develop the business, take it to the next level, and continue to find ways to expand it.
What I found is there's not actually a shortage of ideas of things we could do. That actually, I've never seen that be the problem for my dad, and I have not experienced that problem with my team now. Mm-hmm. Really, the problem is choosing one. The problem is doing the due diligence and testing them out and saying, hey, what do our customers actually need? What do they want from us? What value can we bring to them now? And that, to me, is the process that's a lot harder. What will future hold? We did the water damage and fire damage cleanup. That really was the second generation. Third generation, so far, is the construction piece, right?
Okay.
That is our newest line of business, the one that we are learning more about every day and growing.
You've seen a lot of expansion, too, when it comes to the business with employees. You guys have over 200 employees now.
That's right.
It's very impressive.
Yeah.
So it starts with just grandma and grandpa, and now you have 200-plus employees, almost 250, 260 or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's quite an amazing amount of growth. And for your sake, you just want to find ways to continue to grow the business. You don't want to maintain, but you want to continue to grow the business.
Right.
How do you manage that type of growth for someone that you start the first generation, they were very hands-on. Now you're someone that is more delegating everything and trying to find ways to use and manage the business on the back end. What kind of challenges have you seen with that?
So organizationally, that was the first challenge we went through, right? And so our experience with going from the second generation to the third generation, my dad had run and owned the business for 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
Through that process, one of the natural consequences of that is that the business is organized so that he can lead it.
Mm-hmm.
When you switch to the next generation, the business that kind of formed and coalesced around him, that organizational structure doesn't necessarily work for me. His skill sets are different than mine. They overlap in areas, but they are different. And so there was a natural result of the structure. And so when we started talking about, hey, Justin, we need you to lead the business, one of the first, the thing that we did first, and it took us almost 6 months of assessing the different parts of the business to say, hey, if Justin's going to lead the business, it has to be structured in a different way. We need different types of teams, and we need different people that are different leaders in place so that they can keep an eye on parts of the business that Justin has no experience with that Dad had experience with. And so that was really the first challenge, was what structures do we need to create the environment that we want to have for our culture in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's really the idea that we've kind of gone from, hey, we have this one operation that does all this stuff. We are now, we're structuring the business to say, hey, we have a construction business unit, mm-hmm. and we've got leaders that are focused there. We have an emergency services business unit, mm-hmm. that are leaders that are structured and focused there. And then we have cleaning services.
Mm-hmm.
And those now make up a lot of the services that we provide are inside of these business units. And that really allows me to get input from a variety of places to make sure that we're moving forward in all of these areas, as opposed to an organization where honestly, it's more complex now, but that is, that's what we needed at that point in time when we were making the transition.
Yeah. Dan, being with CMA, you hear the story of what happened, multiple transitions with Woodard Cleaning and Restoration Services. You look at the organization side, how important organization is. What kind of lessons can we learn from Justin here, how much importance he puts on organization?
So there is a couple of lessons there. One is how he defined the role aligned with his strengths, mm-hmm. and he built to his strengths and away from his developmental areas, which is a very smart way to define the role. Mm-hmm. And because he is a different person than his father, the role is going to be defined differently for him because his strengths are different. And so that's a very logical thing to do. We talk about the power of alignment, and the first one is align the person and the role in the organization. So he did that. The second is he has created, I'm going to say, a clothesline. Not literally, but figuratively, a clothesline that he can now hang lines of business on for expansion. That gives him, through his structure, an opportunity, provide an opportunity for some employee to lead a line of business, to make an acquisition, to promote somebody, give them an opportunity or whatever, and grow the business that way. And over time, businesses tend to swing to and fro between diversification and consolidation are focus. Mm-hmm. And it may take a generation or two, or it may take a few decades, but, you know, your Uncle Barry was a he was first an expansion and then a consolidation, and that's where it stayed for a lot of years. Now you're back into expansion mode, right? Mm-hmm. Into different services, different lines of business. And where it goes from here, he may continue to expand. He may stand pat for a while, and at some point he may focus again.
Justin's path to be president of Woodard Cleaning and Restoration wasn't always a clear path. In fact, it might have been one that he wasn't anticipating even a decade prior to taking over the business. I want to talk to him about that as we are joined in studio with him and also Dan Bean from CMA. This is the Business of Family Business presented by CMA. You can always listen back to previous episodes by going to KMOX.com. And don't forget, if you want to tell your family business story, very simple thing, just go to CMAconsult.com and reach out to our friends over at CMA. And Dan Bean will set you up. And welcome back to the Business of Family Business presented by CMA, highlighting local business stories from within the family and outside. We're joined with Justin Woodard with Woodard Cleaning and Restoration Services, also Dan Bean from CMA.
The role that you took in the company wasn't always one that you were anticipating, because you went to school in Indiana. Afterwards, you moved to Chicago and you were working at a tech startup. Mm-hmm. So your mind really wasn't on the family business at that time. You were almost starting an entirely different career. What brought you back to St. Louis, and what got you interested again in Woodard Cleaning and Restoration Services?
My educational background has a pretty big focus in technology and software development. And I got a really cool opportunity to be a part of a brand new company in Chicago that did pretty, it was all custom software development for a variety of different types of businesses. And so I spent a lot of time with leaders of businesses and financial services and in real estate services, helping them figure out what their issues were and then building software to help them solve their problems. Mm-hmm. And, you know, ultimately being a consultant, just it wasn't the right fit for me. Mm-hmm. The work was always fun. It was always challenging. We got to solve really cool problems and we got to help make a difference in people's lives. But I never really got to see how that fruit kind of bore out over the longer term. Mm-hmm. And it was hard to, you know, kind of pour yourself into helping people, then go away.
Oh, I get that. It would be like your favorite team always being in rebuild mode as opposed to seeing the payoff of it building up. So you probably get very emotionally invested in a lot of these companies right when it's time for you to move on to another one, and how hard that is.
Yep.
Well, you always had the family business back home. Do you have any cousins, or are there anyone else interested in the company at the time that were thinking about maybe they would be the next succession to the company?
Not that I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
Or that they've told me, like, that some secret planning that, you know, there's some cousin coup or something like that. I think every Woodard of my generation worked at least one day in our business. And I think my youngest sister, Katie, has the record for the least number of hours worked. Because she didn't quite make it a day. I think she made it a couple days.
Uh-huh.
But she took the other family business, which my mom was a nurse. So she didn't own a business, but she was a nurse, and my youngest sister followed in her footsteps, which is really cool.
You met your wife in Indiana, and then you guys were in Chicago, here back in St. Louis. You have your kids here in St. Louis. Did you move specifically back to St. Louis to take a role in the company?
Yes. Yeah. So in 2008, I came back. And so I had worked with, for probably 18 months beforehand, kind of going in and sitting in on the strategic planning sessions at Woodard, getting familiar with the people that are that were in the leadership team, mm-hmm. Kind of reintroducing myself and really just in trying to get to know the people there. When I came back, the easiest way in was to say, hey, well, Justin's got all this technology experience. We don't really have that. We'll bring him in as the IT manager, right? And so that allowed me to have really some credibility as in a really technical organization. We're serving our customers, but there's this component of, hey, we got to get the stains out. We got to make sure this building dries properly, right? So there's these technical components. Mm-hmm. And so for me to be able to come into a technical organization and be able to say, hey, you know what? I can help with these other systems. Mm-hmm. That really helped establish that I could bring some value to the organization. With that, I was able to work through the operations of the organization and really help understand, you know, for me to understand what sort of stuff we do. How do we help our customers?
Yeah, that's a good question for Dan. When you have transitions, you have the generational transition, but you also have transitioning of different roles inside the company. Sometimes they're external people where they're not related to the family, but they're brought in for some sort of leadership role. And sometimes it's people within the family rising to the ranks of a leadership role. How do you find the best way to transition people into those leadership roles?
So gradually is usually the best way,
right?
Because the leadership role is usually in the C-suite, mm-hmm. and we're at the top, particularly if it's a family member, mm-hmm. one family member transitioning to another. We want to do that more gradually and pass what I can define as a number of small batons, where a small baton is a responsibility. Mm-hmm. So I want to pass a number of small batons gradually, and I want to do it in a logical order that helps the successor develop and grow into the job over time. Mm-hmm. And that's a less risky way to do it. Oftentimes, if you're having to hire from the outside, it's a little harder to do that gradually. Oftentimes, that is over a period of weeks or maybe a month, but it happens pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Bean from CMA and also Justin Woodard with Woodard Cleaning and Restoration. Coming up next on the Business of Family Business, presented by CMA. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and I want to tell you about what I've learned so far about CMA as a company. I know they care a lot about local businesses in the St. Louis region. They're always trying to find ways to not only build the bond between the family, but also make the business stronger by making sure the right people are in the right positions. Sometimes you need to find maybe this person doesn't fit, but maybe they're a better fit over here. You need experience, you need expertise to be able to recognize these things, because quite honestly, I've learned that it's not always easy to tell that to a family member. Sometimes you need the help. In fact, they're there to help you. And one of the things I admire most about them is their willingness to share their expertise. If you've ever been part of the Family Business Speaker Series and seen some of the great people that have spoken on stage, they're a sponsor. It's one of those wonderful things that happen in the St. Louis region. And I'm sure if you're a local business, you've at least heard or probably attended a lot of these. Maybe you're ready for that one-on-one time. Maybe you're ready to sit down with Dan Bean from CMA, talk about how your business can be developed. Maybe it's a generational transition. Maybe it's a succession plan. Maybe it's even just putting together a board of directors or some advisors. Or maybe you're trying to figure out how you can bring outside help into your company to help grow it even bigger. It doesn't hurt. Call Dan Bean at CMA. They'll walk you through and they'll make sure you're set up into the right path, because ultimately you want to make sure you have the right people in your corner. Dan Bean from CMA, get their contact info at cmaconsult.com, www.cmaconsult.com. And we're joined one more time with Justin Woodard from Woodard Cleaning and Restoration Services. Also, Dan Bean from CMA, learning more about the family business and the bonds within the family, as sometimes things don't go as planned. This is the Business of Family Business, presented by CMA. One thing I wanted to ask you about as well, Justin, was your dad, because after you moved back, your dad was diagnosed with cancer. What did that mean for you as a family? And then, of course, there's the business aspect, because you guys are working together, too.
In hindsight, we look at it as kind of this real life, this lifeboat drill that everybody talks about. We actually got to do it, and it turned out okay, right?
Because your dad was running the business for decades at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over 30 years. Right. And so for him to come in and say, you know, Justin, I've got cancer. I'm going to treatment. I'm going to be doing chemo for at least 6 months, and I'm going to focus there. I'm starting tomorrow, right? I mean, it was literally that fast. And as soon as he started the chemotherapy, I mean, it really was. It was a lifeboat drill. He was gone. You know, we didn't have time to have a transition plan. We didn't time to say, hey, here's how the responsibilities are going to adjust, and here's who's going to do what. I mean, there wasn't time for that. he had lymphoma, and the doctors were saying, we got to move quickly. Mm-hmm. I give a lot of credit to people of Woodard to be able to, you know, to know that that's happening. I mean, I feel that our family has been amazingly cared for by the people that serve our customers and really have served our family. Because you just can't do that when you have all the emotional stress of, is your dad going to, you know, come back to work, or is he not? Is he going to not be alive anymore? Mm-hmm. It's hard to go in and come up with the next strategic plan, right? So we treaded water for 6 months. You know, there were a couple of decisions where I really, you know, I was faced with this situation where I'm like, you know, I kind of have a pretty good idea of how Dad would make this decision, but I'm not sure I would make it that way. So I have a decision to make. Do I do it as I know Dad would, or I suspect, right? I would be making an assumption. Or do I say, you know what? Dad might not come back. And if he doesn't, I could appear as inconsistent, right? If I'm going to start changing how I make decisions, it really, you know, faced with that, it's like, what do you do? How do you make the decision? And in my mind, looking back, I kind of went both ways. There were somewhere I was like, no, I really, this is Dad's company. He's alive. I got to make a decision this way. But there's a couple others. So it's like, you know, this is going to impact this team. But I think the best thing for the team and for our company and for our customers is to go in this direction that might be a little different. We did over 6 months. There were things where, you know, we started to change the direction a little bit. We did the best that we could.
Yeah.
And we, you know, it was a hard year. And, you know, emotionally, it was a hard year in all sorts of different ways.
Yeah, your dad has the company for 30 years after the diagnosis. He comes back after treatment, and he's doing fine still to this day. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So Woodard Cleaning and Restoration Services, when he came back, was he looking to keep an active role in the company, or was he looking more or less at that point wanting to be more hands-off?
That'd be a good question to ask him.
So it wasn't something you guys discussed?
Yeah, we really didn't.
He just came back.
He came back. So, I mean, the assumption mm-hmm. is that he came back thinking that he would continue to have an active role.
Right.
It was different, mm-hmm. right? You go through a traumatic experience like that, you know, and by the way, I mean, it's certainly there's an emotional trauma there, but I mean, there's physical trauma. He was in very, very
aggressive
chemotherapy treatment for 6 months. And your muscles are different. Your balance is different. There's all sorts of your body that takes a really long time to heal. And so to come back to work, declared remission in July, and he came to work back to work in, you know, September a little bit, in October, and
you're probably worried too. You don't want to overexert him. You know, you don't want to feel like you're too demanding on him.
Well, if you know Charlie Woodard, you don't ever worry about that. Whether he's in chemo or not, he has more energy than the three of us combined.
Oh, is that right?
So he doesn't. That's really never a risk. If he's there, he's moving. But he did. But that was actually one of the interesting things. You know, everybody knows that he's always pouring himself into the business and moving and going and doing stuff. And when he came back, there were a couple of times where he was just a little quieter. I mean, he was a lot quieter than mm-hmm. we would have expected. You know, it was like there's a different person sitting there.
So when did you officially feel like the transition was completed then between you and your dad?
Yeah. So he came back for a couple of months mm-hmm. and sometime after Christmas, he came to me, he's like, okay, Justin, we got to do a leadership transition. You've got to be the president of Woodard. I'm like, oh, great, Dad, that's awesome. We've talked about this. You know, we're kind of on a, you know, a couple year plan here. You know, we talked about doing that in, you know, 3 years from now, mm-hmm. you know, what are you thinking? He's like, I'm thinking now.
Mm.
And I'm like, hold on, Dad, like, okay.
And Dan, this is your specialty at CMA where it comes to generational transitioning, and something you guys are very, very good at. So when you hear the story of Woodard Cleaning and Restoration Services, where there was, I don't want to say it was a trial run, but you were running the business for a while and then just kind of like holding the seat until your dad came back from treatment. At that point, he may have felt like you were ready. Maybe it could have been one of those deals. So it felt like he might have been able to accelerate that process. That transition seems like it's a little bit different than a lot of the planned transitions.
So they had a plan, but they had to accelerate it.
Yeah.
And so Charlie's departure on one day's notice is more like a passing. Mm-hmm. I'm here one day and the next day I'm not. And Justin, guess what? You're in charge. Mm-hmm. And it was a one-day transition period. So that's immediate. Mm-hmm. And so Justin started out doing what's natural. I'll try to figure out how Dad would have done it, because mm-hmm. Dad's the way he worked. Mm-hmm. And then he very quickly realized, I got to be my own person. I got to do it my way. And he grew into the position, and he took over. And so he became the president or the CEO, and he was doing a good job of leading the organization. And then Dad comes back. Well, this is so when Charlie left and Justin took over, that was one turnover in the CEO position. When Charlie came back and said, okay, I'm back and ready to lead the business, that would be 200% turnover in the CEO position. This is not a good thing to have for an organization. And it did not work. Mm-hmm. And I don't know Charlie, but I'm guessing one of the things, I had a family member go through the cancer treatment, lymphoma, and it is very tough, and it's very tough on the body, and it's very tough on the soul. My guess is Charlie realized, hey, this wasn't the time we had planned. And you know, there's the way you make God laugh is to make a plan.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't our plan, but it's worked. Mm-hmm. So don't undo what's worked. Let's go with it. Let's go mm-hmm. with the flow. Let's formalize it. Let's put Justin in charge, and I'll go find what I will do. Mm-hmm. And so I think they took lemons and made lemonade out of it.
Mm-hmm. Is that the way it feels for you?
That's a pretty good description.
So, Justin, we've talked a lot about your dad and your role, but what role does your father have now?
So I would sum up my dad's role right now as best grandpa ever, right? And so one of his critical roles is, you know, he's got four grandchildren. I've got two kids, and both of my sisters have daughters, and so that's critical number one for Dad, is to just be the best grandpa that he can be. For me, he's a confidant. Like, there are hard things when you own a business, when you lead a business, there are hard things that happen, and to be able to know that probably 9 times out of 10, or maybe even 99 times out of 100. He's kind of done that before. He's had those experiences. He's to be able to say, hey, you know, you want, can I share this with you? And just to know that somebody else has gone through it is really beneficial for me. There is an advisory role, right? I mean, so he has probably already forgotten more than I know about running a business. And so to know that, you know, when we are having challenging situations or things that we haven't experienced, he is always right there with us.
Is he on the board of directors or advisory board, or do you... You have an active board?
We do not right now have any formalized board. Mm-hmm. That's a little embarrassing, but we participate in the Vistage community, and so we've kind of subscribed to our external board is the group of CEOs that I work with once a month and kind of can get counsel from them.
So Dan, what's your general impressions of everything you've heard here today about Witter Cleaning and Restoration Services?
Great company, great history, can connect key moments back to the very founding and before the business was founded through their grandparents, or Justin's grandparents, and having survived a very difficult situation when the plan was to go a 5-year plan and all of a sudden it ends up being, it's a 1-day transition, not a 5-year transition. And to be able to field that curveball or to hit that curveball, that's admirable. Mm-hmm. That takes a lot of stick-with-itness and persistence, and it does not feel easy. And I know when I had the opportunity to buy half the business at CMA, Nick Colarelli, the founder, had me run the business for 1 year and had my partner run it for 1 year before we bought it. And it took me 6 months to feel like I got my sea legs. And when I talked to Joe, he said the same thing. It takes a while to get your sea legs, even if you've been there and worked there. It's different when you become the president or the CEO. Justin has done a wonderful job, and his father did a wonderful job when he came back and he said, it's time for you to be the person, not me.
The years that you've put into the business so far, you still have a lot of years left, a lot of years to put in and continue in the community. Is there any big lesson that you've learned in the short amount of time that you've been leading this company?
You know, the thing I think I underestimated, the thing I didn't know is how much care a group of people can have. Grandma and Grandpa started the business. My dad and his brothers grew the business. And I have entered into a time when there's lots of opportunities for our people and for our company in the future. But right now, I feel like I have I've kind of inherited something really, really special. And the care that I see with the people at Woodard and how they take care of each other, how they've taken care of my family, how they take care of our customers every day, I have learned that is unbelievably priceless and unbelievable. It feels really amazing. When you put in that care for your people and when you care about the people that are around you, that there will be lots of fruit that come from that.
Justin Woodard, Woodard Cleaning and Restoration Services, and also Dan Bean from CMA. Thank you guys for coming in and sharing your story here today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ryan. It was really fun.
If you enjoyed the conversation or missed any of it, go to KMOX.com. I want to give a very special thanks to Justin Woodard, Woodard Cleaning and Restoration Services. Make sure to check them out. And their family story has been one that's been great all across the St. Louis region. Also, Dan Bean from CMA, CMAconsult.com. Reach out to them if you're a family business and maybe you're interested in having your story told here on the Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. We'll see you again soon.